Were you trying to get crazy with this, eh? Don't you know I'm loco?
Now we're rolling. Damage Plan MMA Podcast. I am Jason. As always, my co-host, Zach Partridge in the house.
What
Dude,
up, dog?
Check it out. I'm rocking the Cole Welcome. Faust walkout shirt. Wait for it. Wait.
The machine.
Can you see it?
Yeah. See all of it.
How badass did those turn out?
They look good, man.
They look really good. And these aren't like cheap hoodies, neither. Like
they're freaking those, nice. These for are those like, who don't know, they're nice.
These are high quality hoodies that you're not gonna get at Walmart. Let's just put it that way. Not that there's anything wrong with getting hoodies at Walmart. Just clarify that real quick before I get in trouble. How's your day been? How's your week been?
Good, man. We just got done with a little kickboxing this morning, and Cole was there cutting his last few pounds and got some work in, and then ate my little chicken and rice and broccoli for lunch.
That's what I had too for lunch today. I did my sprints this morning at my class. You know what? I felt great doing it. I'm like, man, I feel good. And I got home, sat down to eat, and then when I tried to get up, I'm like, oh, I'm pretty tired.
Yeah.
I didn't do an ice bath because Shaylee was at home, so I had to hurry back home. I didn't have time to hang out with her. You getting the Xbox all set up?
Yeah. So I have my kid here at work, and we try to keep him entertained. And he just did his homework, and now we're trying to get him set up on the Xbox.
What's he going to play?
What are you playing?
UFC?
What are you playing? College football. And the old NCAA 2014.
You still have that?
Oh, yeah. Best game. Still the best game.
Do they need to come back out with that?
Hold on real quick. Oh, right. Yeah. No, they do.
Zach's helping his son turn on the
there we go.
Xbox. Sorry. There we go. He's good now? He's all
yep.
set up?
Yep, we're good.
So, yeah, it's good. It's good, productive week. No ice bath, but I did buy the tub, so I'm going to take an ice bath tonight.
That's good, man.
Are you gonna go buy one?
I've been thinking about it. I definitely want to go get one of those in-home saunas. Want to get one of those.
You should try
I love my sauna time.
I think they're sold out on Amazon, unfortunately.
Me and my wife have been talking about it. We've been sitting on our stimulus check money, and I think we're gonna turn our home garage, our second part of our garage, into a little home gym area.
You didn't invest it in the UFC IPO that just came out?
No.
Dude.
I will. Is it up already?
Yeah.
I'm sure it is. Put like a couple dollars in there?
I put $100 in there, and it's up a couple bucks.
Good.
Thinking long term, and it's not just the UFC for people listening. It covers a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I think long term.
WME has, yeah, that's a big, it's
yeah,
big
yeah. Play. Big Josh, big what's business. Up, man? Thanks for tuning up, in, Josh. Appreciate it, man.
Heavyweight, former heavyweight champ.
He is the Steel Fist former heavyweight champ. Man,
put some respect on his name.
Put some respect on it. Speaking of Steel Fist, we have Steel Fist fights tomorrow night.
So stoked. You don't even know how stoked I get. Like, and we do date night with our beautiful
and
wives.
We got date night. Kendra, what up?
What's up, Kendrick? I'd ask you how your weight cut is, but you don't have to weight cut. Stinking heavyweights.
Dude, speaking of the fights tomorrow night, it's a damn good card. Kendrick's on the card. We got to speak with Kendrick and his opponent.
I think Kendrick and Luke or Fiji, I mean, that's going to be a great fight.
Two big guys that just want to fight, and I love it.
Yeah.
Then we got the main event. We got Cole Schaefer and Eric Munoz.
We love both those guys.
I've been helping Eric with his nutrition a little bit the last couple of weeks and his fiance. So I know he's feeling good. So that's good. I like it.
What's really interesting is one rematch from Amies.
Yeah.
And it's always fun to see the growth in those rematches from Amie to pro. And then two, they kind of train together a little bit. And so It's kind of always interesting to see. And, dude, you got to give a shout out to Eric for just stepping up and just.
I was going to say this fight wasn't originally scheduled. Cole had a different opponent that ended up having to back out. Eric's,
for legit reasons. I'll give it this one. This is a legit reason back out.
Yeah. Yep. And Eric stepped up and said, "Hey, I'm available. I'll go in there and throw down with the guy." So, hey, props to him. So
good looking out, Eric.
Yeah. Cause I don't think you could contain him very longer. You gotta let him out. Gotta let him go. And then your teammate, Cole Faust.
Dude, yeah. Cole's like, you know, it's weird. He's the little brother at the gym that we all look out for, but he's the little brother that
kicks everybody's ass.
Yeah.
We need to quit talking about him on here. His head might just go. No. Yeah. He's a pretty humble. Dude, he's a pretty humble kid.
Well, it's cool.
Young man. I shouldn't say kid.
Yeah. He's a young man, but turns 20 to next week.
Crazy. Turns
20 next week. No, it's what's really interesting with Cole is somebody, they used to call him Colina when he was a kid, Colina. Yeah. And one day LJ's like, when did they stop calling you Colina? And I said, when we got big enough to be able to kick everybody's butt in the gym.
You talk about a fighter that has like all the attributes, that just does everything just right. That kid just checks all the boxes, man.
I have some stuff to say about Cole, but I'm not going to say it till after the fight.
Yeah.
But just because his opponent was on here,
I get it.
Of the camp stuff, but
I'm looking forward to his opponent too. We had him on here. I mean, I don't know much about him. Haven't seen him in his fights.
He seems super game.
He's a Marine, and I like that. So
yeah, no, well, I like him too, and Cole will be. Cole has a job to do, but dude, I like Cole appreciates his opponents more than I think most too, because he knows there's not a lot of upside about taking a fight with an 18, 19 year old stud.
No,
there kind of isn't, because if you beat him, it's like, oh, you beat a 19 year old. And if you lose, it's like a lot of grown men's ego. Like, they don't want to lose to a kid that's not even 20 years old yet. You know what I mean? It's kind of interesting.
Not many people are training like he is, though, either.
There's a reason why they call him the machine. He's a machine.
Yeah.
So well-oiled.
If you guys haven't gotten your tickets yet, are they sold out? Did I see that they sold out? They are sold out. Damn. Well, we have our tickets.
Get on Blitz.
Watch it on there. Anyways.
All right. Hopefully they have some of those hiccups.
Let's talk about some UFC. Before we get in the card, though, we have to talk about Diego Sanchez.
Why don't you fill everybody in case they didn't see the clip?
So Diego Sanchez got released by the UFC today, and shout out to the UFC because they paid him his
show
money, no, and his win money and his equipment money or whatever. So he made
over even his veteran money.
Over 200 grand they paid him.
Good for them.
Yep. They didn't have to do that. They released him, but man, there was a clip that was posted and I didn't watch all of it, but that guy that he has coaching him is,
it's a problem.
He's a huge problem. He's in a room with reporters. And for those of you who haven't seen it, go on Diego Sanchez's Instagram. And there's about a 15-minute clip of Diego Sanchez talking with Paul Felder, Angela Hill, Megan Olivi. They're all in a room together. And towards the end of it,
which they do with all the fighters.
Yep. So at the end of this Fabio guy's recording the whole thing. I think his name's Fabia, something like that. Anyways, he's recording this from the back, right? He steps in, gives his camera to somebody else, and addresses the media, telling them how they should commentate Diego Sanchez's fight.
And respect him.
And respect him as a coach. And Paul Felder's like, who the fuck are you? Like, Paul Felder's like, dude, what the hell are you talking about?
Paul Felder's like, do you know what I could do to you?
And look, at first I'm like, okay, this is a coach sticking up for his fighter. But then it really wasn't about Diego Sanchez. It was about him. He made it about him. It's like, dude, that's frustrating, man. Cause you got a guy.
What was cool was that I liked the part where Megan Olivi was like, it's kind of unprofessional of you to, mm-hmm. and cause he's like, I didn't. And Paul Felder's like, I haven't commentated on Diego's last 3 fights. In fact, none of us have.
Yeah.
So why are you coming at us?
He said, DC's. Yeah.
And then Megan Olivi was like, yeah, it's pretty, because he was talking about being unprofessional and stuff. And he's like, she's like, it's pretty unprofessional for you to call us out and lecture us and record us.
Yeah.
Record us, you lecturing us. And then, and when none of us have ever done anything but like respect and love on Diego.
That dude's a piece of shit. He's
a piece of crap.
It's sad to see, because a legend like Diego, and I think obviously Dana White and the UFC recognizes they that
the right thing
because they didn't have to pay the guy. They just paid the guy over 200 grand. They paid him a win bonus too.
So if you want to talk about Dana being greedy, not being fair to fighters, not this and that, there's a code there that Dana does respect and follow. And
yeah,
you saw, he's like, listen, this is who this guy's associating with. Like, we just can't deal with this anymore.
Yeah.
Diego, I'm sorry. Bye. Right. And that's what he did. But then he turned around and also did, and then said, but dude, you started on the Ultimate Fighter season one.
Yeah.
You've been a huge part. I mean, how many wars has Diego given us? How many incredible fights, incredible performances, all this stuff. How long has Diego been one of the just the mainstays of the UFC? Forever. For what? 15 years?
15 years, yeah, at least. You know? Yeah.
And so Dana threw him a bone that he just didn't have to on the way out, because he said, your coach is crazy, so get out. But we still love you, Diego. Here's a couple hundred grand to walk, and good luck. I am so worried about what that guy's going to be in 5 years.
I would have loved to have seen him get that retirement fight, win or lose, and just, you know, have a chance to go out on top, basically, in front of the fans and in front of the crowd. And
but you know what? His last fight was so bad.
It was
his last fight was so bad.
It was bad.
I'm kind of happy, because you know what? You know what I felt like it was? I felt like it was going to be a nice highlight right off into the sunset for Cowboy. I think Cowboy was going to knock him out.
I agree.
Because Cowboy, he always talked about having a problem getting up for fights.
Yeah.
But dude, the way he fell out with Jackson Wink, and I know Diego's not there, but when he left Jackson Wink, him and Diego trained words. You got to remember, those were like the two guys there forever.
Yep.
And they traded and last time, and I know Donald Cerrone's a different stage kind of, but you know, he kind of mauled Mike Perry over the whole Jackson Wink thing.
Yeah.
To prove a point. I felt like we would have seen like the old Donald, like
just
in top form, kind of put it on him for the whole Jackson Wink thing.
I think so too.
I'm kind of happy that it's too bad that that's why, but I'm okay not seeing Diego Sanchez fight again.
What if he goes over to like bare knuckles? Could you see him doing that? I mean, I hope he doesn't, but could you see him maybe saying, hey, I'm going to go over to bare knuckle and throw down over there? I hope he doesn't, because I think he gets hurt if he does something like that.
Dude, I actually think he's a murderer at bare knuckle.
Because he's just crazy?
Yeah, can't knock him out.
All those guys are crazy over there, though.
I know, but like, I mean, he's cut from that same cloth. Look, hey, look, guess who's killing a bare knuckle? Chris Lieben.
Chris Lieben did
season one of The Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right. I'll step back a little bit on that.
I do not want to see Diego in bare knuckle.
Not unless he gets rid of that coach or whatever you want to call that guy.
I don't know how to get a hold of him, but I would like personally like to take this clip right now and start it right now. Diego Sanchez's coach, you're a wiener. You don't deserve to be anywhere near the UFC. And you yourself and nobody else is the one that's tarnished that man's legacy, not the commentators, not the media. It's you. You suck.
It's pretty bad when everybody sees it, you know? I could see if it was kind of split down the middle and you had half the people saying, oh, I get it, and half the people saying, oh, I don't get it. But
that guy sucks.
No, he sucks. He's taking advantage of Diego Sanchez is exactly what he's doing. Because he's probably getting a nice little cut of that 200 grand. He's probably getting what? 10-15%? 10-15%?
Yeah, it's 10%. He probably got 20-30 grand of that.
For nothing. For chasing him around the ring with a knife or the cage. Didn't he do that? Didn't he do something like that where he's chasing him around?
Yeah, it's
so moron. Dumb. What a freaking moron.
So dumb.
What other news? Was there any news, other news that we had to talk to? Oh, did you see Usman talking about Khabib? I did want to talk about that a little bit.
I've said it on here for months. That's the only fight I'm interested in.
I would love that fight.
And they're both in their prime.
Both in their prime.
Who puts who on whose back?
You know what's hard is I don't know, man. I would have to see him at a face-off, at a weigh-in. Because Usman's big. He's a big 170. And I know Khabib is a big guy too, but Usman is big.
Dude, Khabib's going to be on that DC diet here soon.
And DC, now this is obviously coming from a training partner, said, ain't nobody stopping him from 155 to 185. Nobody.
Nope.
So that's like, okay.
Well, you got to remember. So this is, and you can only go off of the information that you have, right? And the information we have is Khabib used to maul Luke Rockhold when Luke Rockhold was the 185 champ. And Luke's a monster on the ground. And Khabib used to, the rumor is, the people that say there, Josh Thompson, everybody's there. He's like, no, dude, Khabib used to, he'd go up to the 185ers and stuff. And he never lost a round in the gym even. Like,
I would pay to see that with the way Usman's fighting.
But here's the other thing with Usman. You cannot even say that Usman's hands don't play a huge factor.
Oh yeah. Huge difference.
His hands are levels beyond what Khabib is. And I don't know if Khabib's wrestling is levels beyond Usman's. Is it better? Yes. Yes. Cause when Khabib takes you down, you don't get up.
Yeah.
Unless he lets you get up to take you back down.
Again. Take you back down again. It would be
Usman doesn't just, I am splitting hairs between greatness here, right?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be overly critical or anything like that. But people like Masvidal, he worked his way up with Usman.
He did.
And people like could work, he made him work for it, but like they could work their way up. Where Khabib, it's like if he doesn't want you getting up, you're not getting up.
It's crazy.
I actually think I'd take Khabib.
I'm curious if Dana's dangled that carrot in Khabib.
I'm sure he has. I'm
curious to why he wouldn't want that one. Like, I get it, 155. There's nobody in 155 that's going to beat him. I firmly believe that. Now you get up to 170.
Nobody beats him 170.
I'm leaning your side too, but I like the Usman matchup a lot. All right, let's talk about the card since that's what we just spent 20 minutes just rambling. All right, you ready?
Yes.
UFC Vegas 25. First up, we're going to start with the preliminary card. We are going to have Luke Saunders and Felipe Collares. Luke Saunders is 13-4, 5'6" with a 71-inch reach. Felipe is 9-2, 5'8" with a 69.5-inch reach. Zach, my man. What do you got on this fight?
Luke Saunders reminds me of the guy that we were talking about last week that I was right about. Wins one, loses one. Who was that last week?
I don't know, but we picked against him. I remember.
No, I picked him. You didn't.
Because of that.
I was right on it. But win one, lose one. Or it was 2 weeks ago. I'm sorry. But anyways, regardless. I like Luke Saunders in this one. Felipe, he's only 1-2 in his 3 fights in the UFC, and then he was in those jungle fights for a while. And even his one win was a split decision.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything from him to be like, this is the fight that's gonna get him going. Where Luke Saunders, he's been around and he's been in the UFC for over five years.
Yeah.
And then came up through the RFA scene, which is basically LFA now. And I like that. I like how long he's been around. I think Luke Saunders at -142 is pretty good. I'd say Luke Saunders by decision.
Luke Saunders by decision. Luke hasn't been very active.
Nope.
That's the only thing. This is a tough one. That's why the odds are so close on this one too. It's literally a coin flip. I'm going to go the other way just to have a little disagreement on the podcast. I'm not going to play this one. I don't have a bet in it, but I'm going to go with Felipe. Yeah. He trains with the Nogueira brothers.
Yeah, you're not going to see me putting this in my DraftKings lineup.
Not in DraftKings, and it's definitely not going to be on my ticket. All right, next up, we have in the, which weight are these guys fighting? They have KB Buehler against Andres Michalatis. I probably destroyed that name. Buehler is 6'4", 78-inch reach. He's got an 8-1 record. Andres is 12-4 record. He is 6 foot tall with a 75-inch reach. Take it away, Zach. The Bengal versus the Spartan.
Well, I am. Well, first off, I would just like to say I am all in on the Spartan, Andres Michalatis, or whatever.
All in?
I think he smokes him.
Bet the house?
Oh, I'm not stupid.
Maybe just a
10 unit max play.
10 unit max play.
No. KB Buehler, when he fought Tom Breeze, I remember watching that fight and just remember thinking, like, what is this guy doing in the UFC? Like, I know you have an 8-0 record, but it's like, who are you fighting? And he's beating guys. I mean, he had some okay wins, but he fought a lot of guys with 500 records or worse coming up. And I feel like he tried to skip levels or skip steps. And he went from like the like kind of closed regional scene that unified MMA. Right. And he was their champ, and that's great. But up in Canada, but you don't really see a lot of guys coming into the UFC from unified MMA promotion. You know what I mean? And I just felt like he could have served some time in LFA.
Yeah.
Or one of those other, stepping stones into the UFC before making the direct step into the UFC. And he just didn't look like a UFC fighter to me. Now I say that, and Andres, you know, he lost in his UFC debut due to retirement, but he also looked like more like a UFC fighter to me. And I think he actually wins this pretty dominantly.
I like it. He's a minus 230. The comeback in Buehler is plus 190.
I should probably look at the odds. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I'm big on Andres on this one.
And
I think you could see him in my DraftKings lineup.
The odds are pretty heavily favored that he KOs him.
Is it?
Yeah. Not heavily, but he's minus 105. Minus 105 on a TKO KO is pretty much Vegas telling you he's going to knock this guy out. You don't usually see that as
that's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, I think so too. I agree. All right, we're in agreement. Okay, we'll agree on that one.
Okay.
All right, next up we got Sam Hughes is fighting Loma Lukbunmi. Sam Hughes is 5-2, 5'5" with a 64.5-inch reach. Loma is also has a 5-2 record. She is 5'1" with a 62-inch reach. This is Sam Hughes's second. She took a short notice fight in her last fight against Ticia Torres and just got demolished.
There's levels to this.
There's levels to this. Definitely levels to this. Lukbunmi, clean striking.
I don't know who the favorite is in this, but
Lukbunmi is almost 4-1.
Oh, I was about to say, I really don't like Sam Hughes in this spot. So I'm glad that it always makes me feel better about my picks when Vegas agrees.
I wanted to pick Sam Hughes on this so bad.
I know you like her because I liked what I saw
in the LFA. But
so here's the here's kind of what I am going off of when I'm picking these fights too, and one of them's like, you know, one of the things that we look at is how you compete. Like Ticia Torres is a mainstay in that division.
Yes.
Right. You know, she's Ticia Torres is a monster. And she didn't look like she was remotely close to looking at that level. She lost to Vanessa Demopoulos in a really good, fun fight.
She was beating Vanessa Demopoulos.
Right. But then Vanessa goes and drops two more fights.
And yeah.
You know, like I Vanessa, that's probably her biggest win is against Vanessa Demopoulos. And I don't particularly think, or that's like Vanessa's big win. I don't know. If you're going to lose to Vanessa Demopoulos, you're probably not ready for the UFC yet, because I don't think Vanessa's quite there yet. Does that make sense?
Nope. I 100% agree.
And then look, Bomi, you know, she's had some success in the UFC. She beat Jin Yufrey, who's a veteran, been around the game for a long time. She's gone three rounds and gone the distance with Angela Hill. You know, she's won some fights and, you know, fought an Invicta. And I think that for women's fighting, for me, that might even hold a little bit more weight than even an LFA, right? Yeah. Because they're going after the top girls.
Yeah.
So I don't see any chance for an upset on this one.
Me either. And I think as far as betting, I don't want to lay almost 4-1 odds. Let's see what does it go to decision? Oh, I'm not. I mean, I don't even want to bet this fight. Fight goes to decision is almost 3-1.
I just
like, yeah. I don't.
I'd put Loma in some parlays, maybe.
Maybe Loma, KO. She has very good striking.
She does, but I haven't seen the ability like that, put a knockout ability. Power. Nah. Yeah. And so that's just going to be a hard, you know, she hasn't won anything other than a decision since for 3 years. So.
All right.
I'm out.
We're both on Loma by decision.
Just good luck seeing where Loma's looking.
Next up, we have
Crazy Eyes.
Probably. No, that's not her. She's not the one. It's a different one.
Oh, shoot.
I thought it was too when we talked about it the other day. I'm like, no. It's the one with the one you're thinking of is Brazilian.
That's right. My bad. My bad.
I forgot to text you back on that one. next up is, I got this highlighted. Could be fight of the night.
This Kai, is gonna be a good fight.
Kai Kiyomaka fighting TJ Brown. Kai is 8-3 record. He is 5'7" with a 69-inch reach. TJ Brown is 14-8 record. He is 5'9" with a 73.5-inch reach. This one will be a fun one, man.
I think this is a fun one, but our boy TJ Brown is on a 2-fight losing streak. After winning the Contender Series, did the LFA thing, love that. Contender Series win, love that. Comes in, fights Jordan Griffin for his first fight in the UFC. Not an easy fight.
Yeah.
Danny Chavez beat him pretty good. And now they give him Kai, and Kai's a killer, dude. Kai's a good fighter, too. But you know our rule, right?
He just switched gyms.
Just switched gyms. Working with our boy James Krause. So I think this is one that Kaya Kamaka should win. He is a slight favorite. But what I really like is TJ Brown as an underdog. I'm going to take TJ Brown because I think that's the value, and I think he wins the fight because he's with James Krause. He's done the whole camp there. He's going to come prepared. We're probably going to see the best version of TJ Brown that we've seen in the UFC of his first – this is his third fight in the UFC. I think this is the best version we see of him, and I think he gets it done.
Man, I love that. I love your break. That was good. That was good breakdown, Zach.
Thank you, sir.
And I'm just going to follow up with, I agree.
I was about to say, that was a great breakdown. And then it's like, well, I'm going the other way.
I kind of feel like I had the same thoughts. It's like, I mean, Kai's probably going to win the fight, but I mean, I don't like betting against the James Krause guys. The odds are pretty close. I'm going to take the underdog.
Yeah, I'll take it. But I think TJ Brown wins. Like I don't think we've seen him like put it all together in the UFC yet. And if anybody can help a fighter put it together and pull their best version out of him, I think it's a guy like James Krause. He's been doing it time and time again. It's insane. Look at the guys that are on runs under him right now.
And it's crazy.
Girls. Like it's crazy. I mean, he got Megan Anderson all the way to a title fight.
Yeah.
He got Julian Marquez come back, two great fights. I mean, look last week, Jeff Molina, I mean, and again, TJ Brown was there helping Jeff Molina through their camps. And so, you know, he's got better training partners now. It's just, it's a recipe for success. And if you want to see, you want something I love is fight goes the distance at -170.
Ooh. All right. All right. Yeah. I can get down with that too. I don't see either one of these guys finishing the other.
No.
All right, next up, we got Gabriel Benitez fighting Jonathan Pierce. Gabriel is 22-8 record. He is 5'8" with a 71-inch reach. Pierce is 10-4 record. He is 6 foot tall with a 71.5-inch reach.
Pierce is huge.
What's up, Ryan? Thanks for tuning in, man.
Hey, what's
congratulations
up?
On the what's huge up? Win.
PFL coach PFL. Winner.
Huge win.
So, yeah, dude, Jonathan Pierce is huge.
Huge. Six foot tall.
Just beat Kai Kamaka, right?
Yep.
Lost his UFC debut against Joe Lozon in Boston. Hometown fight for Joe Lozon. That was all. I mean, UFC matchmakers did him no favors. None.
Yeah.
Hey, you won the Dana White Contender Series? Cool. Go fight Joe Lozon in his hometown, and it's basically his retirement fight.
Yep.
Have fun with that. Like, have dude, fun. You're not winning. But then beats Kaya Kamaka, and then Gabriel Benitez. Good fight. Huge win. End of the year last year against Justin Janis in a freaking war. He's been a mainstay in the UFC for a long time. Was on the Ultimate Fighter Latin America season 1.
Yep.
Holds a win over our guy Clay Collard, unfortunately. Shout out to Ryan and Clay who had the ginormous win. I'd like to see that again. I think Clay beats the brakes off him now. Beat a guy like Jason Knight.
Isn't he in jail now? Isn't Jason Knight in jail or something? I think he is.
He was bare knuckle boxing. Artem.
Yeah, Lobov. I think he got in a little trouble. Man, I could be wrong, but
maybe.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm gonna just go ahead and do it. I'm taking Jonathan Pierce as like a big underdog. He's a big underdog in this fight. I like Jonathan Pierce. I think he's a young stud.
I like it better when we disagree on things.
Dang it, Jason!
I think Benitez has the experience edge and has probably fought the tougher fighters, but I think Pierce. I like this. I like this underdog in this spot, and I'm gonna ride with it, man.
Dang it, man!
I'm gonna ride with it. I already had it checked off on my box too. All right, let's see.
Just so you all know, we do not talk about who we like really.
No,
especially on the undercards.
On undercards, not at all. And the main card, we'll say, hey, who do you like? Usually, when the fight's first announced, we will definitely say, all right, first glance, this is who I like.
We also do our research and it changes our minds and surprise each other.
Sometimes, yeah. All right, next up we got Ronda Marcos fighting Luiana Pinheiro. Ronda has a 10-10-1 record, 5'4" with a 63.5-inch reach, and she is fighting Pinheiro, who is 8-1, 5'4" with a 62-inch reach. Talk to me, Zach. Man, a lot of experience with Marcos on this one.
Yeah, I actually feel like so it's something that's concerning for me for Luiana Pinheiro. She is the favorite in this fight.
Yep.
Beat a girl in the contender series that was 8-6. Beat a girl that was 4-2. Beat a girl that's 0-2, 6-5, 3-1 when she was 3-1. That's fine. She doesn't have that win that wows me yet.
Yeah.
And Dana White contender series win over an 8-6 girl. That's like one of those feeling. It's like one of those fights that we see with the Dana White contender series. We're like, we kind of know who the UFC wants to get into the UFC.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And now you're going against Ronda Marcos. She's 10-10. Not a sexy record.
But look who right? She's fought.
Yeah. She's on a three fight losing streak. And people are like, three, lost 4 out of the last 5. Bro, Claudia Gadelha challenged for a title. Amanda Ribas, who's might be one of the next big things in that division. Mackenzie Dern might be the next big thing in the division.
Yep.
And then Rotura, who's super tough in her own right. And I mean, she is fighting a girl. And in that losing streak, she's fighting girls that are 16-4, then 7-4, and then 8-1, 8-1, 11-1. Like she's doing nothing but fighting really, really tough girls. And she has wins over tough, tough girls. Carla Esparza, Angela Hill, Ashley Yoder. I think Ronda Marcos is better than her record. You are what your record is, but I think that's a tough out for her. And as another underdog, I'm going 3 underdogs in a row and I'm taking Ronda Marcos.
Damn it. Here I am thinking I got little gems to throw at you. I can't fool you, Zach. I like the experience factor on this. Like you said, Marcos, she's fought tougher fighters. I mean, who hasn't she fought in that division? She's fought everybody. everybody. I mean, you go down farther from where she beat Angela Hill. She fought Alexa Grasso. She fought Courtney Casey, Carolina Kowalski, or Jessica Payne, Rose Namajunas on the Ultimate Fighter. Like, she's fought everybody.
She's fought everybody.
I'm gonna roll the dice on her. I like it. Randa Markos by decision. All right, this next fight we have Poliana Botello against Luliana Carolina. Poliana she's got an 8-3 record. She is 5'8" with a 67-inch reach. Luliana is 6-2 record. She is 5'6" with a 69-inch reach. What do you like on this one, Mr. Partridge?
Who do you like?
I am going to go with Botello, and yeah, I'm going to go with Botello on this one. Both of these girls are coming off a loss. She just lost to Jillian Robertson by decision. She's kind of win-loss. Then she won two before that in a row. Carolina loses to Ariana Lipinski, which is...
That was that nasty knee bar where she knew she had it, and she looked over her coach and grinned, and then went, "Wow."
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Poliana in this one. Are we gonna disagree?
No, we're
damn four. It.
And I actually really like Poliana a lot.
What's I didn't even see what the odds are on this. What is this? Oh, she's a huge favorite.
Is she?
Yeah. Well, not huge. -255. Comeback is +235 on Carolina.
Yeah, I feel like that's pretty fair. She'll beat her up. I think she beats her up on the feet, and I don't know if she finishes her and gets her out of there, but I wouldn't be surprised. I think that her striking is way ahead of Luana's. So I think she could get her out, but I think she cruises to a pretty dominant on the feet victory.
All right. Fight goes to decision, -265. Probably won't play that. All right. Next up, this should be an entertaining fight. Mirab Davalishvili against Cody Stamann. Mirab is 12-4, 5'6" with a 68-inch reach, and he is fighting Cody Stamann, 5'6" with a 64.5-inch reach. Shout out to our boy Oleko, who trains with Cody Stamann down there in Vegas. Mm-hmm. He's got a tough task ahead of him. The takedown machine. Mirab is the takedown machine. I didn't even give you guys that. I didn't give you the breakdowns, did I?
Nope.
Mirab, he's got a 12-4 record. He's 5'6" with a 68-inch reach. Cody Stamann is 19-3-1. He is 5'6" with a 64.5-inch reach. So height-wise, about the same, but Mirab's got a 3.5-inch reach advantage. Mm-hmm. So do you think Cody can stop the takedowns?
So let me just ask you a question.
Okay.
How special and how good do you think Mirab is?
I mean, he had an impressive...
Is he championship contender worthy?
I don't know yet. I don't know yet. I mean, he looked really good against John Dobson, but Dobson had some moments in there.
Dobson's a tough fight for anybody.
He's a very tough fight for anybody.
Casey Kenywin looks really good.
Casey Kenywin looks phenomenal right now.
Took away Brad Katona's undefeated record.
Yeah. I really want to pick Cody Stamann on this bad, but I don't know if he could. I don't know if his wrestling is going to be good enough to match Mirab's. That's the.
So you're taking Mirab.
You know what? I'm going to take Cody Stamann. I'm going with Cody Stamann. I just.
Why?
He's a big, strong guy. I think I think he'll be able to negate some of those takedowns. I'm not going to say he might not, he's going to stop it completely, but I'm going to go with him. I'm going to go with Cody Stamann. He's from Michigan, trains with our boy down in Vegas. I'm riding with him. Riding with your boy, Aleko.
Let me, this is so frustrating for me because I thought I had a sneaky underdog pick here too. I actually really like Cody Stamen in this.
Really?
One. Yeah.
What, how do you see it playing out?
So here's the thing. And I make these picks and I think it's trended really well for me.
Keep talking. I got to take off my hoodie.
Yeah, you're good. Cody Stamen in the UFC has only lost to extremely high level guys. Cody Stamen in the UFC has only lost to Aljamain Sterling and Jimmy Rivera. Like, he beat Alejandro Perez. He got a majority draw against Song Yadong. He beat Brian Kelleher, who's not a picnic for anybody in a tough out. He beat a savvy veteran in Brian Caraway. And I was actually at that fight and saw that performance as we all listened to Jason flush the toilet. Tarion Ware is a common opponent that they both beat and both unanimous decisioned. The only people that beat Cody Stamen in the UFC is Aljamain Sterling and Jimmy Rivera.
Yeah.
And I know Jimmy Rivera's life hasn't been the easiest in the world, or like it hasn't had, maybe people sleep on him a little bit too much, but I mean, he only loses to killers and he beat Cody Stamen in a 29-28, you know, like, I think Cody Stamen's striking is better than Moraps. Yeah,
I agree with that.
And I think the wrestling can negate a lot of it. And I think Merab is a takedown machine, but like Cody's, he's not going to just sit there and just control Cody.
No.
I mean, and if he does, we're going to be dead wrong and that's okay. But I think Cody has the tools to actually really, really make Merab struggle. And here's the other thing. When you have two heavy wrestling guys, what do you see a lot? When you see both of them, if Merab's sitting there going, I can get the takedown, but I'm going to have to spend so much energy to do it. Yeah. I can't do that for three rounds. We're going to have to strike. Well, in those rounds, if he makes that decision in those rounds, I think Cody wins those rounds.
Yeah.
And I think like, I would not even be surprised if you saw the whole first round play out on the feet and then Cody's up. And I think at that point, I think Cody's up 1-0. Here's the other thing you have to remember. New York is shut down. Merab is a Sierra BJJ guy, not training there, though. He's been training down at Syndicate MMA, trying to get rounds in. And he was at Extreme Couture until they were going to fight, and then he went over to Syndicate. He's not even training with – and his coach is who he's comfortable with.
Yeah.
And I know he's a vet, and I'm sure mentally he's a tough guy, and if anybody could overcome it, somebody like him. And I'm not – but in a fight that I think is pretty close, I'm looking for reasons. Cody Stamen's with his team and his guys trading, and he's at a level of comfort that I don't think Merab is.
Yeah.
I mean, could Merab come out and win this fight? Absolutely. He's a monster. He's a machine himself. But there are enough things that at Cody Stamen at plus 200, I'm good with that. Like two to one odds on a guy like Cody Stamen who only loses to Aljamain Sterling and Jimmy Rivera. I'm good with that, man. I'll ride with Cody Stamen on that. And I'm kind of pissed that you picked him too.
What's up, Hunter?
Hey.
How you doing, dude?
Hi.
Just hanging out with Pops today? He can't hear me, can he?
Nope.
Oh. Check this out. Check this out, Hunter. Look at this.
Detroit Bad Boys. Say
old school.
Hey, ask Jason why the Pistons suck for the last 10 years. Ask him.
Because they have three championships and they're waiting for the Jazz to get one.
That wasn't cool.
I know.
Hey, just so for the record, let the record know, I usually never say what happens in the gym, but Rico Suave, Rico Valdez, he was complaining about the Packers and the poor Packers, and now Aaron Rodgers wants to leave. And he goes, we only have two Super Bowls in 30 years of having great quarterbacks of Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. I said, you wiener. I've never even seen the Lions win a playoff game in my lifetime.
Nope.
And you're complaining about only having two Super Bowls, and we grappled, and he got choked.
At least they're good. At least they're good. At least Green Bay's good. Yeah. At least they win every year.
Yeah. Yeah. So I said, this is for Lions fans everywhere. And Rico, I'm saying I put a clinic on you.
I wonder if I still have my jersey. I had a jersey. My Shaylee's mom got this for me. This is years ago. It's I had that when they went 0-16, I had the number 16 jersey with Owen on the back. Owen, like O-W-E-N, 0-16. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
I wish. I'm so grateful that I was on my mission for that season, because I don't think I could have survived watching it.
It was brutal. It's brutal. Yeah. All right, let's go to the next one. We have Sean Strickland fighting Krzysztof Jotko. Sean Strickland has a 22-3 record. He's 6'1" with a 76-inch reach, and Jotko is 22-4. He is 6'1" with a 77-inch reach. So pretty much dead on this one as far as height and reach is concerned. And record.
Except one of them is an absolute gangster.
Killer. Yeah, I think I know where you're going with this.
Both of them are, but one gets finished when he loses and only wins decision. And then the other one is a freaking Terminator. And I think that Sean Strickland is a freaking Terminator.
I'm all in.
Like, that's my luck of the night. Slam dunk. Like, Sean Strickland. I'm all in on Sean Strickland.
I like it. I like it. All right, let's just move on to the next card. We got three more to go. Now this one, with what happened at the weigh-ins.
What is this dude's deal? I know he's a berserker or whatever, but did you hear the audio? He shook Dana's hand and he looked at him and goes, "You are my opponent." And then grabs the back of his neck at the weigh-ins. Dana's like, "I should have stayed at the office today. What is going on?" He was so mad. Dana was so bad.
Did he not just watch the fights, what is it, 2 weeks ago?
Hey, maybe that's a little enter into his psyche. Maybe he's afraid to fight Dustin Jacoby and wanted out of it and thought maybe if I grab him and hurt him at the weigh-ins when he's not expecting it.
Or maybe he wanted him to feel his strength. But, I mean, he did grab him, but he also got pushed away pretty easy too. So,
and then Dustin Jacoby said, "There is no way I lose to you tomorrow night. Dude. No way."
Ian Kutalaba, just so you know, we're talking about, he's 15-6, 6'1" with a 75-inch reach. Dustin Jacoby, 6'3" with a 78-inch reach. I'm all over Jacoby on this one. After seeing that, and he's looked pretty damn good since he's been back. What did he take? Well, he was on the Contender Series, but before that, he hadn't fought in 2 years, and he goes on the Contender Series, wins a decision. Beats our boy Justin Ledet, and then comes back and beats Maxim Grishin a month and a half ago.
Really good against Maxim Grishin. He looked really good in that fight. This is a dead even fight. It's a coin flip. You have the technical striker that should have a huge advantage in the striking, I think, in Dustin Jacoby versus an absolute berserker in Ian Kutalaba. I mean, he has no discipline. He plays games. I feel like he tries to play these head games with guys.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, dude. You can look big. You got all the muscles in the world. Damage Plan t-shirt coming soon. Muscles don't win fights.
I love it. Muscles don't win fights.
You know, and then you played that stupid head game and got knocked out, but not really, against Ankalaev, and then you fought for real and he destroyed his face.
Yeah.
Glover choked him out. I mean, that's okay. Beat Khalil Roundtree. That was a nice win. He's so violent and his style is so unpredictable. Here's the other thing. I will say this. Can Ian Kutalaba win this fight? Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He's like a bigger version of what Mike Perry kind of was. Like, it's just a giant berserker.
And
he'll go crazy. And if it's whoever lands first. But he's also shown, like, he can get knocked out and he can get stopped too. I mean, I like Ian Kutalaba because I kind of like the intensity and stuff. But I almost feel like he's getting too much into these, like, the weigh-in head games.
Yeah.
He's too focused on getting in the opponent's head. It's like, dude, just go beat him.
Just yeah. Dude,
Dustin Jacoby, he hasn't lost since 2016 in kickboxing or MMA. 2016, like,
and yeah,
he's got a ton of experience, and neither of them are going to the feet. I'll take the kickboxer. I'm taking Dustin Jacoby, and I like Ian Kutalaba, and I think he's fun, but he's like, he kills it 10 years ago in the UFC. I think things are too technical now. The more I think about it, the more I think I really like Dustin Jacoby in this one.
I'm with you.
Are you?
Chalk it up, baby. Chalk it up. Yep.
This is so dumb. We haven't disagreed since the first fight.
I know. Damn it. And I just did it just to disagree. I think we're going to disagree on this next one. Next one, we got Cub Swanson fighting Giga Chikadze. Cub Swanson's 27-11 record. He's 5'8" with a 70-inch reach. He's fighting Giga, who is 12-2, 6 foot tall with a 74-inch reach. So big height and reach advantage for Giga, the ninja. How do you see this one playing out? Cub Swanson's been tearing up these up-and-comers.
Well, you said you thought we were going to disagree on this one. So who do you have?
I got Giga.
Yeah, we do disagree. Chikadze. I'm all over Cub. Yeah, I love Cub Swanson.
I do too, but...
When Cub knocked out Daniel Pineda, for me, that was he still got it. Dude, gangster. You know, and freaking poor Cub, he was out for a year because he blew out his ACL.
Oh, yeah.
Grappling bout with Jake Shields. Jake's over there weighing in it. You know, Cub's over here fighting at featherweight. Jake Shields is ginormous. What are you doing grappling with Jake Shields? I mean, Cub had a nice run. Like, you know, dude, he's been in there with everybody. And look who he's losing to. Brian Ortega. Who cares? Frankie Edgar. Moicano. Shane Burgos. Split decision. Could have gone either way. But,
yeah. You
know, he's fighting killers. Like, you do this long enough and you fight killers, you're going to have stretches where you lose a couple fights in a row.
Yeah.
It's okay. He's still freaking Cub. And that Daniel Pineda fight, people are like, maybe this is it for him.
That's no,
dude, he's still got it.
He does.
And Giga has a unique skill set. And he is a ninja, dude. He's super impressive.
His striking is phenomenal.
He's so fun to watch. I like Chica. You ready for this?
Yep.
What's Cub by submission?
Ooh, Cub by submission. Let's see.
Give me that.
Cub by submission. Let me get to it. Swanson by TKO plus by wins by submission plus 670.
That one.
You like Cub Swanson by you heard it first here. All right.
By
All
submission. Right. No, dude, Cub's a legit black belt. And I don't know if Giga, I don't know who Giga's gone with that can really just, you know. His last loss was a rear naked choke on Dana White Contender Series.
What?
Giga's last loss. Like, he's a kickboxer. And when you're an elite kickboxer, here's the thing. He's an elite kickboxer, right?
Yeah.
Good kickboxing. Super tall, long rangey. All the things that he does and what we're going to see from him, none of that's new for Cub. He's been around for a minute. None of that's new for Cub. I think he handles that stuff just fine. But there are things that Cub can do to him that I don't think he's seen before, and I don't know if he's ready for. And if I'm wrong, he wins the fight. Good for him. Like, I like Giga. I like both these guys. But I don't know if you see a theme here. I do bet with my heart a little bit on some of these, or pick with my heart. It's
okay. Yeah.
And maybe I'm doing this here, but I actually legitimately think Cub's still the better fighter, and he wins this fight.
We'll see how it all plays out tomorrow night.
Do you think Giga is eventually a contender at featherweight?
No,
neither do I, and that's why I'm confident on Cub.
But I don't think Cub is either.
well, no, but the people that beat Cub are.
Yeah.
Right? They're guys that have a single digit or top 10 number next to him.
I think he could beat. I mean, maybe he could crack into the top 10, but he's not beating any of these guys. He's not beating a Dan Ige, Arnold Allen, Josh Emmett, Calvin Cate. Like, I don't think I don't see him beating any of those guys.
Cub hangs with those guys right now, though, better than Giga does.
Yeah.
That's why I like Cub.
I don't hate what you're saying at all. Don't hate it at all.
Well, I hate what you're saying.
rude.
No, I'm glad we're just agreeing. That's good.
I disagree a little bit. All right, main event. We got Dominic Reyes fighting Yuri Prozaka. Prozaka. I'd probably just butcher this guy's name. Reyes is 12-2, 6'4" with a 77-inch reach. Yuri is 27-3-1. He is 6'4" with an 80-inch reach. So pretty close. Pretty close. Height and weight. A little bit of a reach advantage for Yuri, but this should be an interesting one in the light heavyweight division. What are you seeing in this one?
I want to pick Dominic Reyes so bad.
I do too, and about that weigh-in.
I love Dominic Reyes. I mean, it's like on paper, I'm like, you know, you lost to John Jones. And I'm one of the few that actually thought John won that fight. I gave John the third, fourth, and fifth round.
Yeah, I did.
And I was pretty critical of Reyes because I felt like Reyes won the first two rounds and then fought not to lose in the last three.
Yeah.
Jan Błachowicz, okay, he lost. So he lost to two champs.
Yeah.
No big deal, right?
Yep.
Here's where I got concerned with it. Yuri Ozdemir kind of was on a tear himself, and then he loses – and then kind of went on a skid. I feel like this is a theme that we're seeing, especially in the bigger weight classes. Kelvin, right, was on a tear,
yep,
loses to Izzy, and then kind of, but was really good title fight. But then, like, it's almost like they get to the title fight, they lose, but they saw how close they were, and they're like, oh, I'm good. And almost a sense they almost do relax a little bit in their training.
Yeah.
It doesn't intensify their hunger. It was like, I was right there. I was this close. Like, I just needed one or two judges to see this one round a different way. And I'm the champ, right?
Yep.
And Kelvin admitted that a little bit. And we see this. And Ozdemir kind of did the same thing, I think. He was on a tear, lost to DC, and then lost to Yuri. And like, he kind of lost to some guys. The difference is he barely beat Ozdemir, and Yuri literally walked him down.
If you remember,
hands down.
You on our podcast, I picked him, and I told you he's coming in from Ryzen. That guy's he's going to beat him.
I know, and Yuri was an underdog, but a slight underdog. But Yuri could have came over to the UFC earlier, and didn't because he knew he needed more experience.
He hasn't lost since 2015.
And here's the other thing. You ready
for this? And he finishes everybody.
Yeah, I know.
He finishes everybody.
Hey, and you ready for this one too?
Yeah.
I mean, when you talk about the type of experience he was getting in Ryzen.
Yeah.
Beat Nemkov, the current Bellator 205 champ.
Who's a beast. Yeah.
Knocked him out at end of the first round retirement. Lost to Muhammad Lal. But and then since then, he's been on an absolute tear. Jake Hune is a tough guy. He was around kind of the scene, got his win back against Muhammad Lal, beat CB Dalloway, who's a UFC vet, and then kind of toyed with Ozdemir. And everything I'm looking at is like, I think Reyes should win this fight. And I just don't even want to pick Yuri in his stupid haircut that he weighed in with because I can't stand it. I think that looks ridiculous. I think he wins the fight, and I think he stops him.
He's got 27 wins, two by decision. Wins by decision. He's a killer, dude. He's a freaking killer.
Actually the fight I want to see is him and Jan.
I'm all over it. I've already locked that one in as one of my bets. So let's go. Man, I think the winner of this fight gets the winner of – I don't know, because you got Rakic up there too. Man, this light heavyweight division is getting a little.
Let the winner of this fight fight Rakic.
I like it.
Like Glover and Young.
Like Glover, and then the winner of that fight the winner. All right. You're batch making. It's going to be a fun card. We're not going to be able to watch it, but because no, we will be at the Steel Fist fights.
Stop going into there. You don't need to be in there. Sorry.
That's all right.
Just being dad.
Yeah, fun fight. We're both on Yuri. I like it. I love it. What's Yuri by KO? Let's see what Yuri is by KO.
It's gotta be. It's gotta be a.
Because how could you not like that, right?
Yeah.
Plus 120. Sign me up.
Sign me up.
Sign me up. Well, we'll see. We'll see where Reyes is at tomorrow night. We'll see if he's still up there, which I still think he's a top contender, win or lose this fight.
I agree. Let's see.
So, what are you looking at? The wheels are turning.
I am just looking at okay. You're gonna love this DraftKings lineup.
Wait, before you tell me your DraftKings lineup, did you see my bets today? Did I send you a picture of my bets?
No.
I'll talk about it later. All right. What's your DraftKings lineup? Let's hear it. I'm gonna write it down. I did my baseball bet again today.
Oh, no. Oh man. I love it. All right. We're gonna kick off. I start from the bottom to the end. I'm telling you, our whole DraftKings lineup is based off of Cody Stamen.
Ooh, Stamen. Okay. Gotta get it done, baby.
If Cody Stamen can stuff takedowns.
Okay.
That's literally like, so I'm starting with Cody Stamen is our biggest underdog pick on DraftKings.
Okay.
That's how much faith I have in Aleko. Right. If you're listening, this is how much faith I have in your boy. I'm putting him in my official DraftKings lineup.
Boom. I like and it.
I'm going up to Miranda Marcos at 7,700.
I like her.
Stamen's only 72, but I like Marcos to get 7,700. You need to, if you want to cash on these guys, you need to pick some upsets. So yeah, don't, if you won't have the budget to pick all favorites. So I like these two. I like these two as upsets. Next, we're going to Dustin Jacoby for $8,000.
I like Jacoby.
He's going to rack up some points or he's going to get a first round finish.
Okay.
I think he beats up Ian Cotolabo's legs. Very similar to Justin.
See what Ledet. He did to Justin Ledet. Yeah.
Yep. Because one thing, if you have a berserker that's going to charge at you, take out his legs and he can't charge at you anymore.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
That's that. If I'm Justin Jacoby, I got to think that's the game plan. And I think he's too skilled for Cotolabo. Then we get a steal at 90 or at $8,300. I don't know how Yuri is only $8,300.
Okay.
But Yuri main event, $8,300. Dude, I think he gets the win and he gets the stoppage. And
I think he does too.
And so does Jacoby. And I think that's going to be big time. Right. Then we're going to go $9,200, Sean Strickland.
I like it.
And then we're going to go up to the favorite of the night, the DraftKings most expensive, Loma Luka Bunmi.
Loma. All right.
I mean, and if you guys don't know, if you haven't heard, our DraftKings lineup last week, it smacked and all six won their fights.
Smacked.
Cash money. So I'm just out here just giving out free DraftKings lineups to make money.
I like it.
So I my DraftKings balance would always go up and down because I'd win in MMA and then throughout the week I'd do a couple like basketball or baseball ones or football or whatever.
Kind of like
and
our then, gambling through the yeah, throughout sure, the week.
Sure. You know, and then Saturday comes and it gets back up.
Yeah.
And then it's slowly. And so now I'm just like, nope, I just do MMA now for DraftKings.
Nothing wrong with that.
I would like to build up. And finally, my account's just kind of doing this a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, but I feel really good about those. I feel really good. I like Yuri by KO. I like Cub and I like Cub sprinkle a little bit on Cub by submission. I think Dustin Jacoby wins by knockout. I could see Sean Strickland getting the finish, but at the same time, the guy he's fighting is very tough. I could see that going to a decision, but I think he racks up a lot of points. When as far as like predictions go, Cody Stamen by decision. I don't think either of them.
I don't think. Yeah, they're unless something fluke happens, I don't see it either.
Yeah. So, but great night of fights. But sorry, everybody, forget these fights. We're going to Steelfist.
We're going to Steelfist. Yeah. We can watch those Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday, Monday morning, whatever. Just whenever we get to them.
Yeah, I'm excited, though. I'm excited to get out and chill. Have we even ever been to the fights? Like, you're always in somebody's corner, and so this will be our first time we can actually sit and
– We're going to just sit and chill with our wives and watch
fights. We're going to make notes, and we're just going to do a breakdown of everybody. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to break down your guys' fights. Go out there and have fun.
I'm having a cheat meal.
Hey, you got to make 170, dude.
I'm on my way.
Act like a pro.
I'm on my way. Prozac to the nails.
Says who?
Says me. Yeah, time out. Time out. How many T-mails you had?
Why are we talking about me? I'm not fighting. I'm not trying to get to 170. I have a Gmail every day. I had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich before we jumped on the podcast with a protein shake.
I love peanut butter and jelly.
They're good, man. Oh man. Get some whole wheat bread.
I've been really good all week. I haven't had any cheat meals this week. I've eaten clean all week. I deserve some sliders at the Union Event Center. They're delicious.
Those sliders are pretty freaking good.
Delicious. And their chicken tenders are solid.
How are they? Did they say how many fans they're letting in this time?
I don't know, but it sold out.
Dude, the last one, I know they were limited to them, but it seemed like a full house in there.
Yeah. And then just so everybody knows, if you haven't heard, I am fighting July 31st. Start reserving your tickets because there's going to be some. If you're going to come to the fight and you're going to buy tickets for me, let me know because we're going to start doing some. We're going to do some drawings to win some stuff.
It's going to be fun. This is going to be fun doing this for your fight, doing a little drawing. I like it. We'll get Justin on the podcast. See if you guys can recreate a little Steve Sharp and William Dunkel action. Okay. It won't be like that, but
no, cause so here's the thing. I'll never be the first one to talk trash.
Yeah.
Somebody starts it. I'll roast them. And I don't think Justin's going to start it.
Nah, he's not that.
Me and Justin are cool.
Like, yeah, he's not that.
He just, he doesn't think anybody at 170 can beat him. And so I was like, there's a new predator. There's a new predator at 170, dude.
Aren't you supposed to think that way? Like, I mean, if you're going into a fight, aren't you thinking I'm going to win this fight? Like,
I'm going to be, this is a true story. So I got offered once that Billy Alinka kid, right?
Okay, now that's a fight you didn't think you were going to win.
No, you remember this though? So yes. Remember after like 2 weeks, I was like, I could figure out a way to win this fight. I was like talking myself into it. And I was
You're
like,
talking yourself
I into was it. Like, yeah, I could. I'll put him up against the cage, take him down a couple times. Like, I'll figure out a way
to win. You got to be confident, man. You got to have the confidence.
Like, it's just a competitor in me. Because like, it, from the analytical standpoint, in my analytical brain, I look at that fight and I'm like, oh, that's a horrible matchup. And then they're like, And then the more I think about it, like the competitiveness comes in. And I'm like,
yeah, you're like, screw that.
Screw that. I can
take this guy.
I can make the fight ugly, dirty box with him a little bit. As long as I take away his reach and his range, I get on the inside, take him down a few times. Like, I know he has some jiu-jitsu, but you know, he's like long and wiry. Like maybe I can catch an arm bar. Maybe I can catch that neck, that long skinny neck. He's fighting on that Fierce card May 14th.
I know. Who's he fighting?
Somebody
that's they're bringing in somebody, aren't they?
His last name's Baxter is all I know. And that dude's in big trouble. That's all I know. No joke.
We have a couple people coming on the podcast next Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. We have two people. One person I'm getting scheduled. And then one we already have scheduled, that Destiny that used to train out of your gym, Destiny McCubbin, I think her last name.
I think she did way before I trained there, but that's, if I remember right, I think that's her. So.
Yeah. Super stoked. Super stoked. All right. We'll let you guys get out of here. Enjoy the fights. Get on Blitz TV. Go freaking order you can watch the UFC on ESPN and then order the Blitz TV. Watch that on your laptop. Watch our local guys throw down.
Heck yeah.
Roger that. All right. I guess that's a wrap for today. We out. Boom. I just can't